Anyways, so Dichui. Yep, we're in the middle of this wonderful sugya. So again, yesterday we saw there is a machloket about Dichui. We saw that the Gemara finally gave us a source that it is that the source might be: do we learn from the case of mum over, which is a mum, but we paskin nevertheless that once the mum goes away, you are allowed to bring a karban. Or do we say that that is a gzera d'katuv, that's an exception? But the simple pshat is that both of them understand that what dichui is this idea that you create a psul in the karban itself. The chiddush, as we've talked about, is the fact that, well, we are dealing with things that aren't obviously in the karban, like the owner becomes a mumar, right? Which you would have said is more contextual, it's situational, it's external to the carbon. How could it be that creates a mum? That's exactly the point, right? That's why there's a chiddush. That's why this is not obvious that Bali Chaim nidochet. The fact that he was once owned by somebody who went through a period of apostasy, but then came back, that would create a mum in the carbon. That was exactly the case in our Gemara, right? Because
he was a Mamar and he designated Korban for
Yes. So. No, that bad. Okay. Okay. So,
sorry. Do you need a?
My coat's all wet.
Okay, right. So that's where we had left off. Now, Now, if you wanted, okay, now, within the context of mum over, of course, there is another way out of this, which is that their machloket might be about whether, not just about dichui, but about mum over. So we know that a temporary mum is, in fact, allowed to be brought once the mum goes away. But in order for that to be a source for dichui, so we've already said that at one level the machloket is simply, is this a paradigm or is it an exception? There is another way of looking at it, which is maybe their machloket is whether a mum over is a mum or a non-mum.
How does that?
Right, meaning, is it that a temporary mum is a mum? It's just, and that's why you can't bring the karban while it has the mum, and then once it leaves, then it's fine. If that's the case, then obviously that would provide evidence for the fact that something could have an inherent status, which then goes away. On the other hand, you could say that the very fact that it's temporary shows that it's not really a mum. It's just like external to begin with, and then it couldn't necessarily provide proof for cases where, for whatever reason, you actually think it's an invalidation.
Say it's a blemish on its own, we say it's a blemish that means the animal cannot be brought. But we don't specifically say it's an animal that can't be brought forever.
Fine. Now, I remember when I was in Vilchonsin Shir, we were learning the sugya of Mukta. He loved talking about that. The main question you have to ask by Mukta is that there are certain types of Mukta that it's an active psul. Okay?
Like a full action?
But... right? But then there's some where, let's say, there's a category in halacha called, the other possibility is that sometimes mukta, there's two ways of looking at mukta, right? One is that in order to use something on Shabbat, you can't reject it. Right? You can't declare this useless. Right, the other possibility is to say that no, in order for something to not be mukta, you have to actively designate it as useful for Shabbat. Right? And that the default would be that it's not. If we come now with that for a moment to dichui, you could say, listen, we've established now that dichui is something is pushed off. Right? It has a status that invalidates it. But you have to think about, there's two ways you could think of that. One is that dichui is exactly as it sounds. Is that there's an invalidating force that now adheres to the carbon and it's possible. What, there's another way of looking at it, which is no, but that the reason that it's invalid is not because you invalidated it, but because you proactively need, no, you proactively, in order for a carbon to be kosher, you need to proactively protect its kedusha. And you didn't do that. Right? So think about like hesach hadat, right? Sometimes we have that if you merely don't think like truma, if I don't pay attention to it, it ceases to be kadosh. Or at least me derabanan. If you go to the mikvah, right? If you go to the mikvah, and you have in mind that you are going to the mikvah to make yourself kodesh or tahor to eat truma. Are you allowed to eat kodesh? No, midrabanan, you're not. You're not tameh. You're not tameh. You went to the mikvah with kavana. But at least midrabanan, we demand that you go, you are actively metahir yourself for kodesh. And if you don't, you lack. So now that we talk about this category of dichui, so I think you have to, at some level, ask the same question, which is, okay, we've talked about the fact that it's clear from the sugya, or 90% clear, let's say, if you take mum as a model, that the way we view dichui is that even a contextual thing can create a psul in the karba, even when that factor disappears. But why is that? So the simplest way, I think, that you could articulate that is, well, apparently, even what looks external to you isn't. Right? What looks external to you isn't. Right? You think that Zevach Rishon, that the fact that he's a mumar, just is that a mumar can't bring a karban. Kamash Malan, as we talked about the Zevach Rishon Toeva, the emphasis is on the Zevach. That is, the Zevach of the Rishayim becomes a Toeva. And therefore, it gives it a status that it's a Zevach Rishayim, and that status sticks with it. And therefore, the Chiddush of the Sugya of Dichoy would at some level be that even what looks like contextual things can create a status, and that status is, according to the Shita, that Yesh Dichoy, by right, the Balei Chaim Nidach, and that status cannot be alienated. Even if they're not Rishayim anymore, because it became a Zevach Rishayim. The other way of looking at it, though, is that the reason that this psul takes effect is because at the time when he was a rasha, he could no longer be the proper owner and take care of the carbon properly, and therefore it lost its status as a proper carbon. Not necessarily that he had to proactively invalidate it, but that it lost its status as a carbon. What would the... Well, you tell me. No, you could say that the very fact that you lack not that you lack proper protection of the carbon is an invalidating force. But what? Why is that important? Why am I raising this question? Because remember what the Gemara said is that even if you hold Balei Chaim Nidachen, there's a machlok about what case. Dichui Meikara versus Nira Venidche. Right, the Gemara says that Nira Venidche is what? Is the more chamor. Now, why would Nira Venidche be more chamor than Dachwe Me'ikara? Because if it's Nira Venidche, then it was a karban, and then you made it pasul. But if something is Dachwe Me'ikara, why is that not obvious? No. Because if it's puzzle from the beginning, then whoever made it a karban? Can you? Is that obvious to you? No, not necessarily. You're from the hafrasha that you were mafresh in the puzzle. The Gemara says that in order to hold that, you have to hold Yesh Dichoy Mei Karov. The Gemara says not everyone agrees to that. So why would that be the case? So look, if you think that Dichoy is an invalidating force, and that's what creates this spiritual mum, then it could be that only works with Ner V'Nidche. But if it was puzzled from the beginning, well, then maybe it's just not a Karban. A non-Karban is not necessarily puzzled. And what if you? But what if you say the Dachli Meikara is puzzled? So you, there's two ways you could take it. One is that the reason that Dichli is a problem is because it lacks preparedness. And if I try to make something a carbon, but from the beginning it was puzzled, right? That is a lack of preparedness, and that also creates a mum. Or you could say. What? That Evan's point, which is, why do you think you can't create a puzzle carbon? Who says? Right? But you understand why there might be a machloket about that.
I mean, does creating a puzzle carbon have to be a carbon?
I mean, in order to create a puzzle, you would think so.
Right. There has to be an aspect of it that needs to be, you know, like a carbon. But who said it is a carbon? Because if it's... Like, you can't just say, oh, this is a korban because you make it look like it's not a korban. No, it has to be something like a korban, but it still can't.
Right, and that could be the svara of the person who says puzzle. It could be. But again, that's the machloket. Okay, so let us try to, you know, pin down some of these ideas in the sugya and understand these machlokes. So let's go back to Rashi in 5. Okay, so you remember Rashi in Pesachim was commenting on the sheet of Balei Chaim Nidachen. So look at Shmamina. That's where we had read last time. Shmamina Balei Chaim Nidachen. Behema shenidchet b'chayim dechuya dichli gomor. An animal that is. Sorry, before I get there, why might you reject the svara of Balei Chaim Nidachen? Why might you say Ein Balei Chaim Nidachen? So one is what? So one is that you focus on what? On, well, right, on the problem of Dichui in general, right? And you just don't think the category of Dichui really applies to Karbanot for whatever reason, then you have to explain why. What's the other problem? What's the other possibility? Very good. Is that that everything we've been talking about doesn't apply to animals? Well, it could apply to other things, but we'll see. Now, by the way, within this framework, again, why is it a bigger chiddush to have dichoy bedamim than by dichoy by an animal?
Because that's one step removed.
Because on the one, is it one step removed, and therefore what? So one, right, so it's fungible, and therefore, if you think it's a mum, like in an active sense, you might say, how could a mum inherit money? Kamash mum, maybe it does. If you think that it needs to be muchan, you could say, maybe you don't need the money to be mukhan because it's just money and it's fungible. Or you could say, no, but money, which is kodesh, actually does have a definition. Right? And now you're lacking it. Okay. So let's look through the Rishonim as they try to deal with this. Okay? So, Rashi, it says, Shema mina balei chayim nidoche. You're in 5. Yeah. Behema shenidchet b'chaim, an animal that was pushed on his life, dechuya dechuy gomer, is pushed away forever. Sha'af likishin year 8, lamasha itar uya ina kraifa. That even if it becomes ra'ui for that which it was ra'ui for, it can't be brought ela roe. The tnan tire velo karva shlamim, hi gufa zuiretam et chila, shakal motor velo karva shlamim, lo kravi shemon damar bale chaim, e nidachet. And this is against Rabbi Shimon, who says that animals can't be nidchet, but perhaps shenidchet sirim. If he learns it from Balmum, like Shavar Mumo Nira, that when the Mum goes away, it is Rotwi. So, Ushmamina Dichli Mekar Ave Dichli. Donakeva Ozachar Ben Steshanim, Mitrilato, Lo Nira Le Masha Hugdash. Right? A female Pesach, or a 2-year-old male Pesach. So let's read it carefully. Originally was never ra'ui for what it was hukdash. Ukamar yirevi lo yikresh lamim hu atzma. And yet it can't be brought. The ikalaman di amar mesechet zogut de ein dichui elohan yirevi nidchet. Right, so this goes against the position that there is only dichoy v'dira v'nidche. Now, so what is the machloket between them? So he says, listen, right, what's the problem? Is if it was a female Pesach, then it was lo nira mitchilato. So why would you say that there is no dichoy? Because dichoy, if dichoy is a status, it might only inhere in what? A karban. But if it wasn't ro'i me'ikara, then it might simply not be a karban. Right? But I think Rashi hints at how the other shita would say that it is a karban. So you could say like Evan, which is, who says you can't make a pasul karban? Right? But the other possibility is that even if it's not the right karban, does it have a status to which you could apply psul? I think you could, and that is simply the status of kodesh. Yes. Can something be a kodesh? Can something be kodesh without being a pesach? Yeah, why not? Right? Very good. So I think that the answer is that at some level, what might the machloket be? Is the shito says it can't be, unless it was kodesh meikara, as a pesach, it can't be pushed aside as a pesach. I'll say, listen, you want to make it a pasul pesach? How do you make something a pasul pesach? It needs to be a Pesach, and then you need to pasul it. But if it was not roi to be a Pesach from the beginning, then how could you make it a pasul Pesach? The answer might be, it might not have been a Pesach, but what is it surely? Kodesh. Is Kodesh a status that exists? Yes. Can it be invalidated? Yes. Right? I think, Ushma mina yesh dichli bedamim, and there's dichli in money. Right, so to go through the cases, right, the partner is he says, okay, what does it mean that kedusha damim is nidcha? Shma mina kedusha nidcha. Klomar, shma mina. Even something that you originally made Kodesh, not to bring its body, you made its money holy, like half of it was Kodesh and half of it was Chulin, and even though it was never originally was Mukdash for Damim, because you could never bring it, because it was half Kodesh, half not. It was half Zevi's, half Judah's, and then, you know, Zevi decided to go grass-fed and whatever. Your words, not mine. Dachoy li karev li gufo. It is dachoy insofar as its possibility to be brought for its own body. But Chiladek, they show, eino karev od lolam, it can't be brought. Why? The whole of it, nidche, yidche, because it was pushed aside, it's pushed aside. Vilo tema. Don't tell me, ain't dichui bikodshim, that you can't invalidate kodshim ele hektish, hektish ligufo v'nidcha mehakriv, that it was only if the body itself was kodosh, and then it was pushed aside from being brought. Aval kedusha damim. So now he says, what would your hava mina have been? That money, you can't be doche. So I say because it's fungible, and therefore the status doesn't even take effect because money is fungible. He doesn't actually say that. He says maybe it's just not a high enough level kedusha. Lo alime alima lememar beitara dichli. It's not strong enough. Now I don't know exactly what he means, right? It could just be that the notion of dichli requires a higher level kedusha, because maybe it's the more sensitive the kedusha, right? The more intense the kedusha, the more sensitive it is to invalidation. Right? We have evidence of this. So, for example, a bat kohen can become pasul, right? If she sleeps with the wrong person, she can become pasul and be a non kohen. There's no such status by a bat levi. A bat levi could commit zinu, but she's still a bat levi, such that she would be exempt from pidyon haben. Right? Because pidyon haben is unique, that both the male, whether the mother or the father is a levi, the child is pater. There is no parallel invalidating force. Right? Now, you could, so Rosenzweig likes saying that the difference is because kohanim have kedusha, levim don't have kedusha, they have designation. and Kedusha can be invalidated, designation can't be, because it's just not Kedusha, right? You could just say it's higher and lower levels of Kedusha, that the higher the Kedusha, the more sensitive it is. Not as much. You can't. No, it's designation. It's you're part of the Levite family. Can you make me not part of the family? It's harder to disown family than it is holiness. Right? Okay, but you would understand if the Gemara says, in this case it does, that you can't. Anyways, but he seems to say it's just not the higher... Yes. Correct. It's Shigin B'charad. Mem Zayin. The Atila Shat Hechsher Hakrava. So if it would become a time of kosher Hakrava, Kagon de Hacha de Chazer V'laka Chetze, like here where Judah now buys off Zevi's other half of the carbon, Tikrav. V'achanami Hacha Rishonos. So that's what it means. Yishdichui B'damim Kagon Nikeva LePesach. A female Pesach, lo chaz yaguvu lePesach, elo ki akdasha ladamim akdasha. That's right, right? But Rashi basically says explicitly what I said before. He said, the chiddush is that you might have thought that a karban Pesach, which you sanctified as a female you sanctified as a Pesach rather, it can't be pasul because it can't be a Pesach. He says, it's true, except it's not a Pesach, but what is it? It's kodesh. And can money have a status of being money designated for a Pesach? Yes. Does that mean it has a status? Yes. If it has a status, can you now invalidate said status? Yes. That's his point. And since you now can't, it's pushed aside, you can't bring it. Amin antit chalola, mafilach or Pesach. You call motor a Pesach of Islamim, unikev Islam, mechtachazi. Right, and now it's Motzer Pesach, so it's going to be Shlomim. It's going to be Madin Damer Shlomim. Aval Gufa, lo, but its body, no. Alma, Alima, Kedusha Damim Lomer, but Torat Dichoi. That even Kedusha Damim is strong enough to give it the status of Dichoi. Velo Ashka, the Pligatay Ba Melta. Yotuva Shmina and Shuvat Rabbeinu Atkan. Utmiyali, Amai Gara, Mi Motzer Pesach, Shiroi, Le Pesach. Isha, Vinitra, Vinay, Tibbota. He says, I don't understand. Why is this worse than a... Right now, he said, my Rav didn't really understand. He said, why is it worse than a Motzer Pesach? But the answer is, well, it might really be worse than a Motzer Pesach. Because, right, you tried to make it a full Pesach, right? It's not like leftover. You invalidated it, right? Motzer Pesach was leftover, so it's just... What? How do you have a half... What, I don't understand. What's the problem? Yeah, what's the problem? Okay. Now look at Rashi in the Psachim Sugya. Tzadivav. The next part, right? HaPesach. Sha'avad rehifir zachar tachtav. V'nimtza harishon kodam shechita dashen. He writes, if you lose a Pesach and find the first Pesach before you check the second one, right? So he's commenting here on the Mishnah's case, which I didn't show you. But it's a very simple case, right? Which is, no, I did show you. Right? That someone is mafresh, a karbon loses it, then mafresh a sheni. The omed lefana b'shat shchita, harikavato shat shchita b'shem Pesach, v'zeh shelo ikrivo, the one you didn't read, the chayu b'yadayim, lo yikrav hu atzmo shlomim. The inzom other Pesach al pasuk d'achay. Right now, right, Rashi tells you, why does dichoy work? Now he gives you the key. Which is why is that if I separate one Pesach, then I lose it, then I get a second Pesach, and then I find it, that it is puzzle. What does he say? Because if I had a second carbon, then what did I do to the first one?
You made it null.
What's his key? Dachahu biyadayim. I pushed it away. Remember I said right from the beginning, right, Rav Lichtenstein's suggestion, like by Mukta? Right, no, he also talks about it here, but I first heard him. Right, is that, what's the strongest type of disqualifications? One that's active rather than the lack of qualification is active. Rashi clearly says, why is that when I have two Pesachs, one of them becomes Pasol? Because by separating a second Pesach, what have I deemed the first Pesach? A not Pesach, actively. Right? Yes! That's what he says. The Zeshel Okriva, the one I choose not to bring, the Chayu B'Yadayim. Why? Because it had the potential to be a Pesach, and then I chose to not use it. I'm not saying you have to agree with Rashi. I'm saying Rashi clearly has a conceptual formulation. I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying that I said, How do you understand dichoy? I said the simplest shot is that it's an active invalidation, and that's why it's parallel to mu. Right? And if you want to say not that way, you have to come up with a chiddush that, like, the lack of validation can create a status, which is much more mechudash. But okay, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's more mechudash.
Yeah.
Rashi clearly, therefore, takes the less mechudash approach and just says, yeah, dichoy is exactly what it sounds like. You pushed it aside. You actively chose to reject it. And that's what creates a status, and that's why that status can't be alienated, and that's why it remains invalid. Being Rashi, I think, is a very coherent sheet, though.
Yeah, it connects with also the...
Right? And again, once you have this, it makes sense, all these machloko. Because Rashi understands dichoy to mean, I actively invalidated it. Well, once you say that, you understand why it's more obvious to say nirah v'nidcha than dachoy me'ekara. Because nirah v'nidcha, it was a carbon and I rejected it. Whereas dichoy me'ekara, I didn't reject it. Or not obvious. It's not obvious that I rejected it. And therefore, you either say the chiddush is you can reject something from the beginning because it was at least kodesh. Or you could say that the shita holds of dichoy b'yadayim holds that even lack of validation is enough to invalidate proactively.
But,
right? Or and permanently.
Do we follow that formula? Is that actually what we found? I've never, I mean, like, we do that when we want to make things specifically designated that we don't usually use.
It depends on the type of mukta. There's different types of mukta.
Yeah,
right? Like mukta machmat mius, mukhamad masat isser. Right? Those seem to be more active. Whereas eitzim vavanim, not necessarily, right? They are not designated for anything. Though one can quibble, and obviously you can quibble on all of these. Okay, Tosot. Shma mina dichoy meikara hevi dichoy. Tema liri. So Luri asked, and this is something we're going to get to, and that is by the mitzvot. But we're going to have to hold that thought for now. The perek lulav agazo masa gabe lulav the dichoy meikara lo hevi dichoy. As we're going to see, in the context of mitzvot, the Gemara concludes that dichoy meikara is not dichoy. So what's Tosfot's problem? How could it be that our Gemara concludes that when it comes to Karbanot, dichoy me'ikara is dichoy, if in other contexts the concept of dichoy only applies when you take something that's kosher and then you actively invalidate it, rather than it was never valid? Very good! So Tosfot, by bringing in that sugya, is going to help us, because he's going to say, okay, there's a category called dichoy, and there's an application to the karban. Now, you might have thought that dichoy is just a universal principle, but then it applies equally in all areas of halacha. Kamash malan?
No.
Right? And remember I said, right, you have to ask, when we say ein balei chayim nidachin, is that really because animals are impervious to dichoy, or because karbanot have a different definition of dichoy that may not be relevant? Okay? So here, Tosfot is going to tell you that karbanot are different. Once karbanot are different, you can go in the direction that balei chayim, ein balei chayim nidachen, is more about the fact that it's a karban than the fact that it's an animal. So what does Tosfot say? V'yesh l'chalek b'dochli me'ikara l'gabe mitzvah l'dichu me'ikara da'akrava. So he says there's a difference between mitzvot and karbanot. Okay, why? Why?
What do we mean by
mitzvah? Why?
All of them?
Ah, very good. I think Evan's right. I think that what Tosfot is thinking is that, listen, by mitzvah, even if there's a category of dichoy, in order for it to become dachoy, it needs a status. Because you need to give it a status. The problem is that until it is a chefta shel mitzvah, it's just nothing. Right? The case there is hadasim. Before the hadas is used as a hadas, what is it? A myrtle branch. Right? That's what it is. Right? It's easier here to use the Hebrew. In if I was giving shir in Hebrew, this would be impossible. Right? Right? Mahaya hadas lefneshaya hadas. Hadas. No. Okay. Right? But in England, but if I you know, use jargon and I use Hebrew when I want to say a halachic claim in English when I don't, then, right? Before now, it was a myrtle branch. Once I used it as a, for a mitzvah, it becomes a hadas. Now, obviously, that's nonsense if I was speaking Hebrew, but fine. It used to be a citron, now it's an etrog. Okay. So, and why could it be that something is relevant to the world of Kedusha such that it can be nidche before it's a chefta shel karban? but it can't be by mitzvah. So Evan says the obvious, because by kedusha, something can be kadosh and not korban. And therefore, its status can be recognized earlier. And therefore, if you're looking for a proactive invalidation, in the world of karbono, it actually makes more sense than by mitzvah. So therefore, you could hold that dichloi by kara is intelligible in the world of karbono because it really isn't meikara. Meikara means before it was a karbon, but not before it was kodesh. And therefore, it had enough of a status to be pushed aside. Well, not necessarily. What do you mean? If I give this black this whiteboard to the Beit HaMikdash, that's kodesh, but not a karbon. Well, no, because not necessarily. Yeah, Judah.
What do we need to refer to when you say
mitzvah? In this case, I'm talking about a hadas,
right,
so or a lulav.
That's
right. I'm talking about an object that could use for mitzvah, but exists otherwise.
Okay.
Right? Like one can, shouldn't, but one can eat a citron. It's disgusting. It's bitter beyond belief, and you can't really eat it. A lemon on steroids. Yes. Did I say bitter? Sour. It's intensely sour. Yes, but still, the citrus is insanely sour. That's why when people eat citrus, they don't eat citrons. They have citron jelly because citron vodka. Now, citron etro jelly is, and I know this is going to be shocking to you, a toxic level of sugar, okay? In case you didn't know, that is why jam, the other name for it is preserves, because it is toxic. It is so toxic that bacteria can't really live in it. That's why it lasts so long. You didn't know that?
No.
It's toxic levels of sugar. That's why it really can never go bad. That's why it lasts for years, because it is so poisonously sweet. And have you ever made etrog vodka, etrog liqueur? Yeah. So I remember my chavrusa making it, and I discovered why it was palatable.
So much sugar.
So much sugar.
You're not literally just ground up the etrog and put it into.
So when my chavrusa made it, it wasn't. It was vodka plus a bunch of citrons plus it was, I think, for like one serving, like one container that he made of it. I think it was like, I forget how many etrog it was. Like, I don't know. Like, it was a bunch of etrog, and I think it was a pound of sugar. I mean, it was insane. What?
No. It's called hypercocoid syrup.
It is. Let's see. I mean, I'll look it up for you, okay? Let's see. Okay, the first recipe that came up, Bonir Eh. God almighty. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. It's very easy recipe. 3 to 4 etrogim, 2 quarts water, 2.5 cups, 150 proof pure vodka, 1/2 teaspoon of Geffen orange extract, 5 pounds of sugar. Okay, I guess I was misremembering. Now, I see other recipes that are less atrocious, like 3 citrons, 3 cups vodka, and 1.5 cups superfine sugar, but it is telling that the first recipe I came up with was 5 pounds of sugar to 2.5 cups of vodka.
Oh, wait.
Cups. That was the...
I'm surprised the sugar even fully dissolves it.
Again, I will read that to you again. 3 to 4 etrogim, 2 quarts water, 2.5 cups of vodka, 5 pounds sugar.
Sounds normal.
So that's basically the point of me bringing this up was that it is theoretically possible to eat citrons such that they might have an identity outside of being in a halachic etrog, but one should not. Because if one is eating them...
No, you could use it juice, but it's not used as much. Sure.
No, 2.5 cups of vodka.
I heard.
Okay, this is why one should not. I mean, look, liqueur is sugary to begin with. But, like, that's insane. Because you're offsetting. The cores are good. They are good.
Probably because they're bigger.
Sure. But they are good. I will grant you that. But that is absurd.
Yeah, that's absurd. 5 pounds.
That's more sugar than in that cocoa powder. That is insane. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This disgusting. Well, I don't know. You have to do the math. I don't know.
Right, you have to convert just weight measures to.
Correct. Yeah. So what do we say? We said two. What did it say? It said two. Wait. I have to do the math. Yeah, but you have to convert. I have to do the conversions.
Yeah.
Okay. It's bad.
Probably
it's bad.
Than I do.
What? It's bad. It's really bad. Okay. So then he says, that's one. The ode, the shiny hotam. But his second possibility is no. It's because there, let's take the hadas case, which we're going to see, where hadasim have berries on them. And while they have berries, they're possible. So he says, yeah, but what? No. My neighbor has a hadassim bush, and I walked past it, and it looked like blueberries. And I said to him, oh.
Oh, those are poison berries.
I said to him, right? You chmaniot, right? And he said, no, lo, ze hadassim. And I'm like, oh, it looks like blueberries. Like, yeah, but don't eat it. You cannot eat it. I don't really look. Myrtle branch berries. Okay, myrtle berries, botanically classified as Myrtus communis, are an ancient species belonging to the Myrtaceae family. Okay, now what? What do I do with it? Okay. Specialty produce. They are nutritional values. Oh, they have calcium. Good for you.
So they are.
I guess.
They might have calcium inside.
Wait, let's see. Okay. Are they? Let me see. Edible. The berries can be consumed straight out of hand, but their taste is often considered unpalatable. the answer is
not poisonous, but shouldn't be.
But they're good for liqueurs. That should give you a clue. That should clue you in.
I love botany in Gemara class.
It's always the best.
Yep. Okay. So he says, but what does that show you? So interesting. So what does he say? Shiny other me kara efshel meute bitakanta. Since it's easily fixed, lo dichui gamurhu. It was never fully nidcha. So what is Tosfot telling you? very good. Right? He says like this, that we understand that in order for it to be dichui, it has to be that even at the original moment, it was complete. Meaning, the fact that it's easy to remove the berries shows you that that was never an intrinsic invalidation. It was only temporary. Do we have a model for something like that? Yes, mum over. Right? The Gemara said that mum over, because it's temporary, therefore everyone agrees that it's fine. Now, the question of whether that's the model for all other things or exer de katuv, either way, we have a model that exists of something that, because it's temporary, it isn't nidche. What Tosfot is saying is that at some level, right, that same model exists. That, which makes sense if you think dichui isn't just, right, well, let's look at it both ways. If you think dichui is, it has to be pushed away, then if I know me'ikara, that something is easily fixed, am I going to reject it categorically? No. And what if you think that dichui is from the lack of preparation, but I know that it's easily fixed? Does the fact that temporarily it can't be used, if I can easily fix it, does that mean that I'm not treating it as a hadas? No, not necessarily. If you have your lulav and etrog in there, ideally they're supposed to be tied together. It's very easy to tie together. Do you treat it as not a lulav until you tie them together? I know this is a bad example.
At that moment.
No, right? You say, I'm tying the lulav together. You don't say, I'm tying this thing that will become a lulav. Right? It's not a great example. I understand. Then he says, "V'im dar Mike Masrum Yochanan beperakam deGushin gabe heimashal sheshu the kolhan etlat mila debedakim melte shamin vadi da'acha." So he says, "Okay, what did we learn special from the case of two shudfin? We already learned it here. V'yesh lomar dakat yashminan doset tura utura tavachayotziba. You still needed to teach me the chiddush of tura. Avgav dina kriva klal, even though it can't be brought at all. V'had lo kamar hatam v'shmamin de doset tura. So why don't we say there tura vachayotziba lo chashu velamid dechia? Because it was only talking about da'achoy. Okay, fine." So now it does ask a very important question, which is, well, why don't you learn, according to the shita that you hold, that dichoy meikara is dichoy, but isn't every karban mechusar zman, and therefore dachoy? Right, remember, that was what the Gemara said. The shita who holds that we don't hold of dichoy meikara says that's because, learns it from mechusar zman. But what does the Gemara not explain? Why the Shita who holds the Dichui Meikara is Dichui, how he distinguishes it from a Chusar Zman, which everyone agrees, doesn't invalidate a Karban. How do I know it doesn't invalidate a Karban? Because every animal in the universe is born, and this is crazy, less than 8 days old. And therefore, if Chusar Zman was an invalidation, no karban would ever be kosher, but no one holds that. The only question is whether that proves that there's no such thing as dichoy. But according to one who holds that there is such a thing as dichoy, and there is such a thing as dichoy meyakara, you need to explain why that's not mechuzer zman is not that. And what's his answer? What? Very good. Is remember we said, well, let's look at the two models. If you think that dichoy is an active rejection, what does it need to be? A carbon. If it was never a carbon because it wasn't old enough to be any sort of carbon, then what might you say? It can't be rejected because it was never. Right. Now, if you wanted to go the other direction and say, no, dichoy means even if I fail to treat it as a carbon, you could also say, well, obviously, if it isn't old enough and I'm protecting it so that it'll become old enough, right, that's not dichoy. But Tosfos, that's what he says, Yesh Lomar, the shiny mechuzer zman. The Svara who holds that Mechuzer Zman is not a model to teach you there's no Dichoy Meikara says, yeah, because Mechuzer Zman is not Dachoy, Dlo Itchaze Me'olam L'Shum Karban. It was never any sort of Karban. And how can you give it a rejected status if it wasn't, didn't have a status? Uzman Kavua Liot Ro'oy Liyom Hashmini Hilkach Lo Shailech L'Melev Minei Ba'alma. Right? It's very simple, right? As complicated as the Sugya is, once you have the basic models down, it actually...
Not so
bad. I mean, not so bad. It's just that it's, you know, pinning down some of the details are hard, but... Shema mina yeshu dichoy bedamim. And he says, there is dichoy in money. Perish Rashi b'tshuvato. Dafilu davar shelo kiddush mitchulato gudush aguf. Ela gudusha damim dichoyim. The karev v'asof. That even something that was originally only kiddush for its money, it's... Right, that was Rashi. The Ri says, what are you talking about? Rashi makes it sound like the Chiddush is that there's Dichoy even by Kedusha Damim. He said, but wait a second. Isn't every case of Dichoy Meikara a case of Kedusha Damim? Definitionally. Right, if from the very moment I made a kadosh, it couldn't be brought as a karban, then what is it? Ah, so you could have said that, but Tosfos doesn't buy it. So Rashi seems to hold that, right? Rashi seems to hold that, that it can, because there's such a thing as kadosh, it could be a pasul karban, and therefore it's a separate kiddush to say that it's dichoy bedamim. Tosfos says, isn't something which is pasul meikara definitionally dichoy bedamim? Those aren't two kiddushim, it's only one. Right, Rashi seems not to hold that. Rashi seems to think that you can grant something a generic kedusha status, which you can then invalidate. Correct, but Tosfos doesn't believe that. Tosfos said that if it's a pasul karban from the beginning, that is, then it's really not a karban. It's just what? But Tosfos says if you try to make a karban pasul from the beginning, it's no different than me giving the whiteboard to the Beit HaMikdash. It's just dumim. It's not a pasul karban. It's a non-karban. Right, that's what Tosfos said. Hakol dichui mekarav dichui damim v'imkain came into Amar dichui mekarav dichui shaminin namidish dichui damim, and therefore he says, according to him, what's his problem? There aren't two chidushim here. By saying yesh dichui meikara, you're saying that's the same as saying yesh dichui bedamim. But the Gemara presents it as two chidushim, which is what leads Rashi to say that these are two chidushim, right? Namely, that something can have kedushat aguf, and but you know, generic kedusha. Right? That seems to be how Tosfos is taking Rashi, but he doesn't agree with it. The Omeri and Riz, the Riz says the mishkachat le dachli meikara bekadosh kedushat aguf. He says no, they actually are two different things. There's such a thing as dachim kedushat aguf, which is not kedushat damim. That is a karban puzzle from meikara. How? So Rashi is even more amenable to saying that, like Evan's been saying, why can't I make something a puzzle karban? He's not into that. So he says, no. Kigon sheshachat v'kibel hadam b'kli sheyesh bo mayim. I shech the karban, I gather du kabbalah hadam, but the kli has water waiting in it. And therefore, did Rishon Dachli, that the blood, as soon as it comes out, becomes puzzle because it doesn't land in the kli, it lands in the water. So he comes up with a crazy case. I'm in the middle of shechting the karban, but I make the kabbalah, I do kabbalah in a way that automatically invalidates it. That's the only case he can think of. Now, why is that? Because what is Tosfos clearly rejecting? Evan, that there's a possibility of making something a karban puzzle from the beginning. The only way that he thinks you can make a karban puzzle from the beginning is that I actually initiate the karban process, but I prevent it from reaching fruition. Right? I shecht it, but then I make sure that the blood never becomes kosher. But that's not what he says. And he says, therefore, listen. He says, and why does he call it dichui meikara? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is as follows. Let's say there's only an ounce of water. So by the end, there's going to be more blood than water. So you might have thought it's kosher because the blood is mevatel, the water. And he says, if the only thing relevant was bitul, then you would be right. But it's dichui. Very good. Is that the blood is blood that was never ra'ui. That's why you need a third chiddush. That there's dichui bedamim. That there's dichui beguf meikara, and then there's dichui bedamim, which he thinks are not the same. Okay. We have 4 minutes. I know. Question is, okay, go to 10. We'd actually read these tomorrow. So now let's read a little more Tosfot. Tosfot on the Sugin Yoma, Bomari. The whole the it later be Yochanan call it Yichu and Shabinara, Hoel Vinitchu Yitchu. The heavy afil dichemekar bechalam. So again, Tosfot here wants us to ask the question again, which is Rabbi Yochanan holds that dichoy mekar is dichoy, but he doesn't hold that the mechusar's man is. Okay, I am going to stop here. Because Tosfot here is going to deal with, okay, is Otovet Beno similar to Mechusar Zman or not? Okay. Oh, I guess, yeah, we don't have time to do that right now. We'll do that. I guess we'll do that next.